Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. In verse 42, Jesus is talking to Mary about Mary's sister Martha. And Martha is going about, she's very busy, and she's doing a whole lot of things while Jesus is preaching. Now, this did not seem strange to Martha because she had the wrong focus. Her focus was details of life, and she completely missed the message that Jesus was delivering because she was so focused on the details of life. And she's so into these details that when her sister Mary stops to listen to what Jesus is saying, she asks Jesus to correct her sister, basically to yell at her, and says, "Tell her to help me." And Jesus looks at her and says, "Mary has chosen the good part. One thing is needful. One thing is necessary. One thing is important. And Mary has chosen that part." And he says, that part will not be taken away from her. That means that what she received, she won't be able to lose. You can have things that you lose, and you can have things that you cannot lose. The important things, you cannot lose. The things that are not important, a lot of people get occupied with them. So occupied, they give up the things that are important. Learn what's important. Learn what's important. You're young and you're learning what's important. A lot of adults don't know what's important. And they will claim to know what's important. They may even tell you what's important. But what you know is not really revealed in what you say. It may or may not be. But what you know will be revealed in what you do. Because you will do according to what you think is important. Everybody makes choices. You can't help that. Your choices will reveal what you feel is important. Because everybody makes choices according to what they think is valuable for them. What will help them. What's going to be the best thing for them. That's how people will make choices. Doesn't matter what they say. That's how they'll make choices. Learn what's important. A lot of things that people consider to be important are really not important at all. A lot of things that people think, oh, I can let this go. No, those are the really important things. Martha thought it was important to set the table and do the dishes and do everything just so. That stuff had no value at all. Because Martha wasn't thinking right. Mary knew what had value. And Jesus said what Mary chose cannot be taken away from her. That was important. Learn what's important. Now, in Hebrews 10:25, we'll talk about a few things that are important. There isn't a lot that God says, you need this really important. But there's a small handful of things God says, you really need this. It's really important. And the first one is in Hebrews 10:25. Now, not everybody will see this as the most important because they don't get it. This is actually one of the most, if not the single most important thing we have, and I'll explain to you why. It says there, don't forsake the assembling together of yourselves, as is the manner of some. In other words, when you have church going on, be there. And that's not to be religious. And it's not a thing that, well, I have this very unique opportunity just this one time, so there's going to be a Sunday when I can't be there, and you're saying I have to be? No, I'm not saying that at all. As a lifestyle. Yes, if you're sick, you can stay home and get well. If you have a, I don't know, some very unique thing going on in your life that week, okay, fine. But once that becomes something that happens over and over and over, you've got a problem. God says, don't forsake it. Gather together. In other words, be at church. Whenever church is happening, be at church. And do it much more. I remember when I first met Dr. Stevens. And I said to him, Pastor, I feel like God is telling me that you're my pastor and I'm going to be in Bible college. And he turned around to me and he surprised me with what he did. He turned around to me and said, then be there whenever I speak. Wow. And he was right. Why? Because when I told him that, number one, he can't pastor me unless I'm there. Number two, he's training me and I won't be trained unless I'm there. Can you imagine somebody going into the army and saying, well, you know, I think I'm going to skip boot camp. I have something better to do than boot camp. But I'll catch up with you guys when you go get deployed. Doesn't work that way. If you're not there for the training, the army will not let you there for any of it. If you're not good at the training, the army will say, okay, good try, but you can't do this. And they weed out a lot of people in the training. If they're not good at the training, they won't let them in. But they got to be trained. Pastor Stevens knew I needed to be trained. So he said to me, be there whenever I speak. Now, the thing about that is, I can't really do well with God if I'm casual about church. By casual, I mean I don't take it very seriously. And when it doesn't become a priority to me, I'm casual. A lot of people make other things their priority. Some of those things they think are important things. Some of those things they think are comfort, whatever it is. People say, well, I'm tired. I'm not going to go to church today. Okay, that's your eternal loss. Plain and simple. Here's the thing about it. In Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Not possible. So faith is required in order for God to be happy with us. That means faith is required in order for us to be rewarded well in heaven. Without faith, it is not possible to please God. In Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word, and they cannot hear unless there's a preacher preaching the word. That's why it's so important to show up in church. That's where faith is built. In Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, the Word of God says that in church is where the Holy Spirit speaks to everybody in the church. Now, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit cannot speak to you alone outside of church. He certainly can. But when you're in church, He is. And so, being in church at the right time is extremely important. Where you end up in church is one of the most important decisions you're going to make in your life. It's part of what we call the call of God. In other words, where God specifically wants you, because that's the person, your pastor, and Paul said this, is the person who's building your faith. Paul called him an architect of faith. And so you want to be there to hear your pastor speak because that's what builds your faith. Don't ever get into the mindset where you say, you know, I have better things to do today. And nobody calls them better. They just say other things. I have important things. Or I'm not up to it. When you get to heaven, you will get zero rewards for sleep. But you will get rewards for being there. Sleep does not build faith. Hearing the word of God does. God doesn't say, I'm going to be so happy if you sleep enough. We got this weird mindset where we tend to coddle ourselves and pamper ourselves way more than we ought to. Quite frankly, sometimes we just need to toughen up. Yeah, I'm tired, but I'm going to be there because I'm going to get something from God. It's very important. Number one thing you do not want to neglect, number one important thing there is, make it to church. If church is going on, you want to be there. Number two, John 13:34. The Word of God says, a new commandment I give unto you. Now, when God says, and this is Jesus talking, but Jesus was God. When God says, I'm giving you a new command, this command replaces all the other stuff. I'm giving you this command. He's not giving you a suggestion. He's not giving you a good idea. He's saying, this is a must. I'm giving you this order, this command. If God gives a command, you want to pay attention. And you want to follow through on it. In other words, if He commands it, we do it. Simple as that. He commands it, we do it. If you don't follow the commands of God, watch out. Okay, it's going to be bad news. Worse than if you're in the army and you don't follow the commands of a general. If you don't follow the commands of a general and you're in the army, you end up in jail. You don't follow the commands of God and you are a Christian, you end up under God's discipline. That's not fun. So what you want to do is if God commands it, we do it. And He says, I'm giving you this new command that you love one another as I have loved you. God says, I already love you. I'm already patient and kind toward you. I already think well of you. I'm already looking out for your best interests. I'm already trying to take care of you as best as you allow me to. Now, what I want you to do is in the same way that I love you, you love each other. That's a command. That's not an option. That's a command. You don't have the choice in this. That's a command. God says, love one another as I have loved you. Not as people love people always. People don't always love people the way God loves. People sometimes will love only those that love them. People will love people only so long as they get what they want from them. That's not love. God said, love as I love. That means it's unconditional. It's never saying, well, this person is like this, and therefore I'm not going to love them. And nobody actually says, I'm not going to love them, but they give themselves excuse not to love them. Now, He says, love them. That means, number one, be patient with them. Be kind to them. Don't think any evil of them. Don't envy them. Don't be jealous of them. Love them. Don't get angry and frustrated with them. Don't be anxious about them. By the way, don't let them make you feel insecure. Love them. Don't get bossy in their life. Don't try to tell them what to do and expect that they're going to listen to you. They've got God to listen to. They don't need to listen to us. Nobody stands before God and answers, well, how well did you listen to Harry over there? Somebody says that to God. Well, I listened to Harry really well. God says, I don't care. Harry was not me. You listen to God. If people try to tell you what you should be doing and it's different than what God says to do, ignore the person. They're not God. Once you're an adult, it's not their place to tell you what to do anyway. So you love people. Love people. Don't try to be God in their life. Don't be telling them what to do and what they shouldn't do and all that stuff. Be patient with them. Be kind with them. Be thoughtful of them. Be gentle with them. Love them. That's not a choice. It's a command. Very important. There's not too many things that God said, this I command. As a matter of fact, that's the only one. So it's really important. Love people. And then He says, by this men will know that you're my disciples in verse 35, because you love people the way that I love people. That's not being sentimental with them. In other words, it's not saying, oh, you don't feel good today. It's not like that at all. Sometimes you love people in ways that you provide what's needed and not necessarily what's wanted. Pastors have to do that a lot. If a pastor loves the people in his church, he will step on their toes. He will offend them sometimes because he'll tell them what they need that the Holy Spirit is giving him for them and not necessarily what they want to hear. Sometimes people love to hear it, but not everybody does. But he'll tell it to them anyway. The one thing you want to make sure in your interactions with people is that you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now, you don't have to worry about making yourself sensitive. What you do want to worry about is live in the awareness that He's there, because He is, just like you're aware of each other right now, although you're not focusing on each other. But you're aware that the other one is there. That's the kind of awareness we want toward God. Okay? We live in the awareness that He's there. Even though we may not be focusing on Him as we're sitting in class, we're still aware that He's there. When you're aware that He's there and you have a humble mentality, humble attitude, then when He wants to say something, you will hear Him. You don't have to try to hear Him. You simply will hear Him. Watch out for trying to hear Him. That's where you get weird. Okay, if He says something, you'll hear Him. Okay? Then, in Mark 16:15, the next really important thing, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, you may not be going to India or China or something like that to preach the gospel or wherever else in the world, or you may be. You may stay in your hometown all your life, or maybe you'll go on the other side of the planet. It's whatever God has for you. In any case, where you are, share the gospel. Tell people about Christ. Everybody on earth who is a Christian is called to be a missionary. They may not be called to be a missionary in a different land, but everybody is called to be a missionary. A missionary is simply a transplanted disciple. You're called to be a disciple, and you're not in heaven. That means you're a transplanted disciple. That also means that you are called to be a missionary. And missionaries are simply those people who tell others about Christ. In school, you're called to be a missionary. Now, it doesn't mean that there's no other conversation that ever goes on except telling people about Christ. It does mean when the opportunity comes, I take it. Why? Because in Luke 19:10, the reason why Jesus came was to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save lost souls. He was looking for them, and He told them the gospel. He wants us to be looking for them and to tell them the gospel. Very important. People who are not saved go to hell. Simple as that. It's not that they're bad. For that matter, nobody goes to heaven because they're especially good. It's because they're saved if they go to heaven, or not saved if they go to hell. The way they get saved is they believe in Jesus. They accept what He did for them. That's it right there. He doesn't ask for anything more. That's how a person gets saved. They accept what Jesus did for them. Now, here's the thing about it. Once you are saved, it says, tell them. It's important that other people not go to hell. So tell them, so that they will have the opportunity to go to heaven. Very important. Have a lifestyle of telling people about Christ. Again, it's not something where you're constantly jabbering Bible. It's not like that. It's just you're looking for opportunities, and when the opportunities come, you take them. If the opportunity is not there, you don't worry about it. Maybe you pray for the person instead. But if the opportunity comes, take the opportunity. Tell people about Jesus. One of the most horrible things I can imagine is knowing people, especially if you know them well, and never having told them about Christ. Because what if they do go to hell? What if they never get saved and I knew how to go to heaven? Now, God's going to tell you what to tell them. That's the beautiful thing about it. He doesn't leave you out there on your own. He doesn't say, go and tell them and figure it out for yourself. Doesn't work that way. He says, you be available to tell them, and I'll tell you what to say. You be available to take your opportunities, and I will provide you with opportunities. So it's not like you have to strive or worry about it or anything like that. You just watch. And when God provides the opportunity, say, okay, God, I'm going to tell him, tell me what to say. It's amazing how good he is about that. Now, I remember years ago when I was first saved. I was in college and I had this buddy. And we both worked at school, in the same office at school. And I came into work one time and he was there. He was on the shift prior to mine. And the shift always overlapped a little bit. And God said to me, you're going to talk to Earn. And I knew exactly what that meant. Now, I wasn't used to this yet because I was newly saved. And I said, God, I don't know what to say to him. And the very next thing was that Earn asked me a very personal question, one that was all about my faith. I said, ah, okay, God, I get it. And so I told him about Jesus. Now, Earn was not a believer. He was very uncomfortable by this. And I told him about Jesus, and at the end of our conversation, it wasn't really long, it was maybe 5 or 10 minutes. God allowed me to hear, and this wasn't anything weird, you don't strive to do it, it's just something that happens. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But in this case, it did. It doesn't happen for me very often, but when it does, you know it. God allowed me to hear what Earn was saying to God in his own head. And he was silently praying, God, if this is you, make him stop. And I could hear it, which was the wildest thing. I could hear it. And as soon as he said that, I said to Earn, God's telling me I can stop now. And his eyes got really big. And I said, however, before I do, did you just pray, God, if this is you, make him stop? And Earn grabbed his head and he started screaming. He said, that's exactly what I prayed. You're weirding me out. You're weirding me out. It's simple. I didn't have to do anything. I just took my opportunity. And God was even kind enough to point out, hey, here's your opportunity. And I said, God, I don't know what to say. God said, don't worry about it. I'll show you what to say. God, I don't know how to start. Don't worry about it. I'll get it started for you. He was there for the whole thing. It's not hard. It's really easy. But it's also really important. Don't neglect it. If you have opportunities to tell people about Christ, take them. People need to know about Christ so they don't go to hell. The next really important thing, actually there's three things together. It's in Micah 6:8. It says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. So God shows you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? And this is what's required. It says, do justly. Now, to do justly doesn't mean I'm a judge. To do justly means I apply what God has done. Doing justly means I'm merciful and I'm patient. Doing justly means I have compassion. Doing justly means I'm very gracious and I apply grace to myself and then to other people also. We do justly toward ourselves as well as other people. So, learn God's grace. Learn about the blood, what the blood has done for you. Learn these things that God has accomplished for you. Then apply them to yourself and to other people and you will do justly. Then he says, love mercy. Don't love judgment. Don't love criticism. Don't love figuring people out. Don't love analyzing people. Just love mercy. The reason why you love mercy in Jude 21 is because it takes you into the love of God. Love mercy. And then walk humbly. Always be humble. Never allow yourself to not be humble. Humble means you agree with God about everything. It also means that you're not self-centered. You're not self-oriented. You're humble. If you're humble, God will have no limits to what He can do with you. The way we limit God is through a lack of humility. Humility is necessary for wisdom. Pride always leads to stupidity. It just does. You see somebody who's puffed up, they think they're all that in a bag of chips, I will guarantee you they're going to fall on their face. Because pride also always comes before a fall. If I'm proud, God will make sure I blow it. 100% guaranteed. Because God hates pride. Pride is what got Satan kicked out of heaven when he was Lucifer. God hates pride. He loves humility. So he says, be humble. Don't think too much of yourself. Don't think too little of yourself. Just don't think of yourself all that much, except for what is necessary to take good care of yourself. Be humble. Never think you're more than anybody else. Never think anybody else is more than you are. Both of those are pride. Thinking I'm better than you or thinking you're better than me is pride on both sides. Okay? You don't think that way. You're humble. Keep your focus on God. That's humility. Keep your focus on God. Be concerned with what God thinks, not what other people think. That's humility. Be humble. Pride, 100% guaranteed, will make you stupid. Every time. Don't be swayed by people's pride. You know how some kid will always follow the cool kid? Right? You always have that group. They're following the cool kid. If that cool kid stepped in dog poo, they would be following him stepping in dog poo. Right? Because pride makes you stupid. It really does. Pride makes you stupid. You want to be humble. Okay? Wisdom depends on humility. It really does. Wisdom depends on humility. If you're humble, there's no end to what God can do with you. If you're proud, there's not much He can do with you. And then, lastly, in Matthew 16:24, the Word of God says, if any man desires to come after me, and this is Jesus talking, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself. In other words, don't be self-centered. Don't be self-oriented. It's not about you. Don't be self-centered. Right? We have this thing as people, we think the world revolves around us. The world does not revolve around us. If you ever get tempted to think the world revolves around you or to think your opinion is all that, it's not. It's not wrong to have an opinion, but it's not anything of great consequence. And this is true for everyone. God says, deny yourself. Don't be self-oriented. Take up your cross. Taking up your cross is something that's produced in you when you get the Word of God. It's not something you have the power to do in yourself, albeit when you have the Word of God, your decisions will lead to that. When you have the Word of God, then your thinking changes such that you have God's thoughts. And then you start to put away the thoughts that are wrong. That's essentially taking up your cross. It's God's character pushing aside the wrong character in man. That's taking up a cross. When you have the Word of God, that will happen for you. So he's saying, get the Word of God to the point where it's pushing aside what's called the old sin nature. And then you have a cross. And what you get to experience is very rich quality of life. And then he says, follow me. And following him is simply, I trust what he says and therefore I will do it. I trust him and I'll do it. Simple as that. I trust what he says and therefore I will do it. Now you're following Jesus. Those are the important things. There's not too much more than that. Those are the important things. And those important things are what's going to protect you, and those important things are what's going to make your life high quality. So learn them. Learn the important things. You guys understand? Okay, that's it for today.